all who are thirsty. Come to the rock and drink in living water that satisfies your soul. Drink it in. Consume it. Let it fill you and overflow you. Take in the living water, for I give it to you freely. We are glad that you're here tonight. Session number one of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. So glad that you're gathered here tonight. And as always, if you feel led to give and would like to give and that's available to you, just put it in the back. Make it out to VCF, or there's envelopes back there. You can do that anytime. We serve a good God, don't we? You know, when you're about to take a trip and you're not going to come back for a long time, do you think about what you're going to leave to the people that you're leaving? Well, Jesus had worked his ministry for 3 years, 3.5 years. And he was about to go home and go back to the Father. And before he was going, he wanted to give his second greatest gift. Now, the first greatest gift is salvation. But then the second greatest gift, he was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. He was going to give us another comforter, a counselor, a helper, a standby, a strengthener, just like him. He's divine, and he gave us his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit is not limited by space or time or distance. The Holy Spirit likes to fill atmospheres. He filled the house before he filled the people. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is like God in action. I can't take, that's a quote from Reinhard Bonnke. I just thought he said that so well. So we're here to talk about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Say the Holy Spirit's a person. You know, that's important to know. All right? So who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. He is a person. He can be grieved. He speaks. He moves. He fills. He empowers. The Bible has many different ways to describe him. I'm going to give you a few. He's our helper. You ever need help? Well, he's a helper. He's not here to do it for you, but he's here to help you do it. He's a comforter. You experience tragedy or sorrow, he's a comforter. He can comfort you. He's called the Eternal Spirit. He has no beginning and no end. He's going to be around forever. All right? He's called the power of the Most High. He's the power source of heaven. And guess what? We can plug into the power source. Amen? He's the Spirit of adoption. You know, that means that people who weren't born into a family could become part of a family. He's the Spirit of adoption. He's the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of glory. He's the Spirit of holiness. He's the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of the Son. He's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of counsel, knowledge, strength. He's the Spirit of the Lord. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of understanding. And you could go to Zechariah chapter 4, 6. This is probably the only Old Testament reference that we're going to use in this series. Zechariah 4, 6. I'm reading from the Amplified, and he said, then he said this to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply from the olive trees. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. If God is going to do something and get something done, it's going to be by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit permeates every area of life. Okay? So it's not by might, it's not by our physical strength. It's not by our intellect. It's not by our power or our position. But it's by the Holy Spirit that God gets his will done. Okay? So, let's take a look at who the Holy Spirit is. All right? How many know that Jesus is a good example? Right? Anything that Jesus received or anything that Jesus has, we can receive and we can have. Why? Because the Bible calls us joint heirs. Okay? God had an inheritance and God had a will. And someone died, so therefore, because Jesus Christ died, God's will went into effect, and that will states that you and I are joint heirs. So whatever Jesus gets, we get. Okay? So let's follow Jesus' example. And Jesus did not do anything without the Holy Spirit. How much more should we not do anything without the Holy Spirit? In other words, we should embrace his partnership. You know, we were singing, welcome, Holy Spirit. Is he welcome wherever we go? Now, the Holy Spirit is everywhere, but he's not manifested everywhere. He's not on display everywhere. He's not necessarily moving everywhere. He looks for people of faith where he can move. Okay? And so we're going to look at the Spirit in the life of Jesus. And the Spirit of God was involved in every part of Jesus' life and ministry. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We're going to start here, and then we're going to work our way back and see how this all happened, okay? If you're with me, say amen. And if you have questions, I will leave some time at the end to take some questions, and I will leave some time at the end to pray, and we will get done in our time. Amen? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. The Bible gives us some truth about how the Holy Spirit worked in the life of Jesus. And it said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Say, God anointed Jesus. If God anointed Jesus, would he anoint you? Yes, he would. The same anointing that he anointed Jesus with is the same anointing he anoints us with. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it. If you're comfortable with ghost or spirit, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Okay? So God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. Everywhere, everything that's associated with the Holy Spirit is associated with power. He is God's powerhouse. He is God's power engine, okay? And wherever the Holy Ghost moves, power is moving. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Why? Why did he do that? Why did he anoint Jesus? Who went about doing good. You know, if you want to do good, you should do it under the anointing. you get better results. The difference between the anointing and not the anointing is like a golf cart versus a car. Now, both drive, don't they? A golf cart drives, but it cannot go as fast as a car. It cannot go as far as a car. And even though they do similar things, one has a greater effect than the other. The car is like having the anointing. The golf cart is like not having the anointing. You can do some things without the anointing, but you can do a whole lot more with the anointing. The anointing will multiply God's effect in your life, okay? So he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So not only did God anoint him, but God was with him. And the anointing was to do good, the anointing was to heal, and the anointing was to destroy the works of the devil. Everywhere the devil was working, God came with the anointing and destroyed the works of the devil. It's like God just messes up the enemy's plans. Okay? All right. So we see that the Spirit was on Jesus, and it was for good. And verse 39 says, "And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead." So this was an eyewitness account of, these are actual things that God did through Jesus because he was anointed of the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. So we're going to work our way backwards now. Matthew chapter 12, and let's go to verse 15. Okay. "But when the Jews knew it, he withdrew himself from there, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory.'" So God was very pleased in Jesus. So Jesus lived by faith, because you can't please God any other way. And God promised that he would put his spirit on him, okay? The Spirit of God on a person helps that person function for whatever God created them to function in. For example, back in the Old Testament, God put his spirit on craftsmen who designed the articles of the tabernacle and the tabernacle itself. In other words, they had special skill that was given to them by God's Spirit. Some people are anointed to sing. Some people are anointed to preach. Some people are anointed to teach. Some people are anointed mechanics. They're anointed builders. They're anointed caregivers. See, let the Holy Spirit help you do whatever it is you do. Because the Holy Spirit is not just for you, but it's for people around you, people around your sphere of influence. He'll work through you, okay? So we see that the Spirit of God was on Jesus, okay? Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And you know, it is God's desire. He wants everyone to be baptized and filled with his Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that you do get the Holy Spirit when you're born again, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is in addition to. It's like an extra added bonus, okay? A person who has Jesus Christ as their Savior but is not filled with the Holy Spirit will still go to heaven, okay? But the Holy Spirit is a gift, and he wants every one of his children to have him. It's such a precious gift. He helps us in so many ways. All right, John chapter 3, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives him not the Spirit by measure unto him. So in other words, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. Now, you and I individually, we have a measure of the Holy Spirit. We don't have it without measure. But the body of Christ collectively has the Spirit without measure, but not one individual in that body. Okay? Jesus had to have the Spirit without measure because of his office. He was in every office. He's the priest, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher. He's everything. He's our all in all. He's the great I am. And God gave him the Spirit without measure. Okay? He had an unlimited supply. Now, the body of Christ, every person in the body of Christ, we have the Spirit without measure, corporately, but not individually. Okay? But we can do a lot of things with what God gives us. All right? Now, go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Everybody good so far? Look at verse 19 and 20. Philippians 1, 19 and 20. He says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus is the supplier of the Spirit? He's got a warehouse full of Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer of the Spirit. He's the supplier of the Spirit. You can't give what you don't have, right? I mean, if you don't have it, you can't give it. If you want to borrow $10 from me, if I don't have $10 in my wallet, I can't give you $10 because I don't have it. In order to give it, you have to be able to have it. So Jesus has this Holy Spirit. He has the supply of the Spirit. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. See, when you have the Holy Spirit, when you get supplied with the Spirit by Jesus Christ, you become bold, you become unashamed, you become a force for God. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit, he's the powerhouse. Yeah. He's the dunamis power. All right? Now, go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is involved in Jesus' birth. He's the one that brings the birth about. He's the one that causes it to happen. Okay? And go to verse 35. Luke 1, verse 35. Mary asked the question, how are these things going to be? And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. All right? The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. So we see the Holy Ghost coming on her. the power of the highest overshadowing her and something being birthed in her. But it's not a something, it's a someone. But it was the Holy Spirit and his power that caused Jesus to come about. He wasn't there before, but after the Holy Ghost came on her, after she had communion with the Holy Spirit and communion with the power of God, something was it was put in her. Her egg was fertilized by God. And Jesus began to be as a man. When does creation begin? It begins at conception. Can you say amen? Women who are pregnant are carrying a life in them. And God loves life. So you see the Holy Spirit, he's involved in Jesus' birth, okay? And the angel was telling Joseph in Matthew 1:8, you don't have to turn there, but before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can bring things about. He's a creator, isn't he? What does the Holy Spirit need to create? Any guesses? He needs one thing to be able to create. The Word of God. Right? God said, when God created this world, what was the Holy Spirit doing? He was hovering over the waters. His engine was ready. Revving. He was just waiting. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for God to speak. And the moment God spoke, he brought life to that word, and it came to be. When God said, light be, the Holy Spirit went, shoom, and there was light. He took the word of God and brought it to pass. What can the Holy Spirit do with God's word for you? What can the Holy Spirit do with God's word in you? He can create something awesome. But we have to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into that as this lesson proceeds, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. All right? And let's go to Matthew chapter 3 now. So Jesus was born of the Spirit, and he had the Spirit on him. And let's see when he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3. And let's go down to verse 11. John was the forerunner. He was a relative of Jesus. He was 6 months older than his cousin Jesus. And John's job was to go before the Lord and to prepare the people to be able to receive him, okay? His message was to repent, and he baptized with water. And here he is at the Jordan River. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So who baptizes people with the Holy Ghost and with fire? Jesus. Okay? John is a prophet. Do you realize John was the first prophet in 400 years? He was the first prophet after the Dark Ages. He was the first prophet to prophesy and to see what he prophesied come to pass right before his eyes. He said, there's one coming after me, and the one came. All right? Then verse 13, then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus did everything to fulfill God's word. He made sure that God's word was fulfilled in everything that he did. And Jesus, when he was baptized, verse 16, went up straightway out of the water immediately. So John put him under, and he went straight up, stood up, like he was spring-loaded or something maybe, I don't know. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he is talking about John, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Didn't say he was a dove, it just said how he saw it, it looked like a dove landing on someone, you know. And John got to see this. John was a witness to this, all right? So not only was Jesus water baptized, but he was spirit baptized at the same time. And a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Can you imagine? You know, I hear God's voice, but I've never heard a voice from heaven. I mean, I don't know if it was a booming voice. I don't know if it sounded like thunder or a trumpet. The Bible doesn't tell us, but the heavens opened up. John sees. God says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And it is there when he anoints Jesus. Remember in Acts? Acts said how God anointed Jesus. This is where Jesus was anointed, right here. This is where the Holy Spirit came on. This is where his ministry began. He's 30 years old. He hadn't performed a miracle. He hadn't healed a lame body. He hadn't raised a dead person. He hadn't done any of that up until this point. Because he needed the Holy Spirit in order to do those things. Can you say amen? All right? So we see the Holy Spirit involved in his birth, the Holy Spirit involved in his baptism. And let's go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And let's look at verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased." All right? Look at verse 23 now. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now let's go to chapter 4 and verse 1. Okay? Jesus was birthed by the Spirit. Jesus was baptized by the Spirit. Now he takes it even deeper. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now he's full of the Spirit, and now he's being led by the Spirit. Isn't it easier to drive a car that has gas in it versus a car that doesn't have gas in it? You know, some Christians try to run on fumes. If you're running on fumes, you need to fill up. Your needle is on the E, past the E, the light's on. It's time to get filled up. Because otherwise, you're not going to reach your destination if you're not full. What if you're half full? You'll get halfway there. Jesus, notice how it says it, being full. He was just baptized, but now he's keeping himself full. Okay? Now he's led in the, okay? So the Holy Spirit now leads him into the wilderness. And guess what? The Holy Spirit was there with him in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit helped him face temptation. The Holy Spirit helped him overcome the devil. The Holy Spirit was right there. Jesus fasted for 40 days, so he was hungry. And go down to verse 14. After he defeated the devil, verse 13 says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Just because you have a great victory over the devil doesn't mean he's not done. Notice he departed for a season. That's why it's so important to stay full of the Holy Spirit, because the devil will return. But if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll whoop him every time. Now look at verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out fame from him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And look at verse 33. This is John saying this here, and he said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So in all the people that John baptized, he was looking for the one, when he dunks them, he was looking for the one that had the crescendo, right? Jesus came out of the water and went, whoo! I don't know but if he did that. But that was the crescendo. You know, John didn't know who it was. Because he didn't, John, the God told John, it's the one on whom you see the Spirit descending. So John was baptizing people. You know, hopefully he didn't hold them down too long while he was looking up. Okay? See, John bear record saying, you know, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Okay? Now, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves into your heart, okay? Let me just give you this quickly. Romans 8, 9. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are God's. All right? In other words, you belong to God if the Spirit of God dwells in you. So when you get born again, you do get the Spirit of God in you. But they're like, okay, I'm just going to say it. Acts 8, they went to Ephesus. And they found a group of guys. And they said, or maybe it was Acts 19. They said, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? They said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. They said, well, what baptism were you baptized with? We were baptized with John's baptism. Well, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. To get baptized by John, you had to believe in Jesus, okay? You had to believe in the Messiah. But these guys, they believed in the Messiah, but they had not received the Holy Spirit yet because they hadn't even heard about him. So the disciples laid their hands on them, and they said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, and they did, okay? So when we get born again, we do have the Spirit of God, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with fire, is in addition to. The only qualification to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is to be born again. All right? It's a free gift that God wants to give to all. Okay? He wants everybody to have it. He thought it was so important that we all need to have it. So, go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to see something here. And let's look at verse 2. He said, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" How do you get the Holy Spirit? By being a good person? Nope. By giving millions of dollars? Nope. Well, how do you get the Holy Spirit? Having faith in Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you've confessed him as Lord, then you qualify to receive the Holy Spirit. When did the disciples get born again? It was in John 20. After Jesus had rose from the dead, he appeared to them. And he told them, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them. That's when they got born again. But then in Acts 2, the promise of the Father came, and those who were born again got the Holy Spirit as well, in addition to being born again. It's like a bonus check that you get. I mean, your employer pays you for your time and your expertise. You show up for work and you get paid, but then you have such a nice employer and they think that you do such a good job that they give you a bonus on top of your salary. You're already earning a salary, but a bonus is above and beyond. And you're like, wow, I got a bonus. A bonus makes you feel good because a bonus is good. The Holy Spirit is God's bonus to his children. Okay? So we do get the Holy Spirit when we're born again, but there's another level called the baptism. And Jesus baptized. John prophesied he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay? So we're going to learn more about that as we go. So as many as you can, come and hear the word. So does anybody have any questions about what we talked about so far? Any questions? Yes. Yes. Yes, well, the word of God is the incorruptible seed. So when a person gets born again, they're receiving Jesus, who is the incorruptible seed, because he is the word of God. So we do receive the incorruptible seed. Does that answer your question? Yes. Once you're born again, you are added to God's family. You are added to God's household, but then you have to grow in God. You have to grow in the knowledge of God. Just like a baby that's born. When they're born, all they can do is cry and scream. And when they're hungry, wah! When they're thirsty, wah! When they need a change, wah! But as they get older, they start to talk. They start to walk. That's development. And that's what needs to happen in the spirit, too. God just doesn't want people to get born again and that's it. Then you got to walk with God. You got to live for God. And the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do it. Good question. Any other questions? Yes. Go to Ephesians 5. Good question. How can we stay filled? Excellent question. The Word of God has an awesome answer. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And he goes on to say, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, that's how we keep ourselves full. You speak the word, you worship God, you fellowship with believers, you submit, which means be accountable. No man is an island to themselves. God's family includes accountability. And we have a license to provoke. Provoke one another as the days get closer. All right, good question. Submitting yourselves one to another.
Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Would that also resemble Aaron sharpening Aaron?
Would that resemble what?
That scripture that says Aaron sharpening Aaron. One brother and sister speaking God's word and reminding one another of God's word.
Because God works in the atmosphere of unity. So when we're submitting ourselves to one another, there's unity, there's harmony, and where unity is, the Bible says God commands the blessing. How blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil, it's like the dew of Hermon, like the oil that ran down Aaron's head and on his beard and down his robe. There the Lord commands the blessing. Good question. Any other questions? All right, now, God wants to give you a gift. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. You may already be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What's the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit? The normal result of people that were filled with the Holy Spirit was they spoke. They spoke in other languages that they never studied. The people did the speaking, but the Holy Spirit gave them the words. It's a supernatural thing, all right? If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, tonight's your night. And maybe your tank is running on empty. And maybe you just need to be filled again, because the same people who were filled in Acts 2 were also filled again in Acts 4. And you know, when we minister, when we live, we're giving out. And we need to replenish our supply. But Jesus, the supplier, is here. There's no interruption in the supply line. God's got a full supply. And you can just come and you can hook up with God. How do you hook up? It's primarily through the laying on of hands. Okay? Think of me as a tanker. And this is the hose that they hook up to the tank. And, you know, in the winter we get oil. The truck comes, it hooks up to the pipe, it flips a switch, and the oil begins to flow. And the tank level rises, and we're able to produce heat. Okay? So God wants you to produce heat. He wants to give you power. So if that's you, I want to invite you to come up front right now. And we're going to pray for you. And I believe that God's going to touch you.